She's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
Lane Lewis.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil. Hello. We're here every Saturday, taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, or your Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And as always, you can call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 9...
You can do it that way.
I could. Yeah. Either 972 or 817. 234-1234, 888-234-1234, if you're out of the area. As always, you can go to autoflex.com, learn about Autoflex, learn about leasing, see all our great pre-owned cars, arrange for a test drive to be set up in advance, or view some of the stories we're going to do today online in depth and see the videos.
9:45, we're going to talk about a really interesting insurance scam going on in Philly. But first, let's talk about speeding.
Well, you know, speeding has a lot of different ramifications other than you getting a ticket. And part of those ramifications have to do with all of the money that gets spent by us because we get tickets. In fact, the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration says that we spent $6.3 billion last year paying our fines.
Is that nationwide or
nationwide.
Texas-wide?
Yeah, yeah. 41 million tickets.
Text wow. in if you shared in that 6 million or billion?
Billion.
Billion.
Yeah.
I did not share in the 6 billion last year. Now, I'm sure
not
my insurance rates were affected by everybody else's.
Well, and the 6.3 billion, yeah, the 6.3 billion covers all of the ramifications.
Oh, even
not
insurance.
Just the fines.
Oh.
So it covers insurance ramifications where you get those points. And you find out that they're not worth much except a big bill every year. The actual police revenue off tickets last year was approximately $300,000. Now, a couple of things. If you've got automated cars that drive themselves, what are the police departments going to do to raise money? By golly.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big source of revenue.
So the average cost of a ticket is $152.
Right.
And the average annual speeding ticket revenue per U.S. police officer is $300,000.
Yes.
That's what they're bringing in.
A piece.
It's insane when you think of those numbers.
Well,
that's the part I didn't participate in. Just last year. I'm not saying I never and won't ever.
Right.
But will you? What will slow you down?
Well, and that's the thing. You'd think that people would slow down, but people don't really slow down. In fact, when they surveyed drivers, 91% of the drivers agreed with the statement that everyone should obey the speed limits because they are the law. But only 48% thought something should be done to reduce speeding on highways, and only 41% said maybe they should raise the fines.
Huh.
So everyone likes to talk about it, but nobody wants to make the changes.
I have sped and not been caught.
Yeah.
Not much.
Everyone has.
I think everyone has.
Not
definitely.
Much. So I thought the interest. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry. I mean to.
No, it's fine. I was looking at the Autoflex Leasing fan text. It says, "Good morning, peeps. You know how to avoid a speeding ticket? Don't speed."
Well,
there you have it.
That's true.
Easier
that
said than done.
True.
That was G-Bag, by golly. I'm sorry, Sergeant Loca. That wasn't G-Bag. At any rate, the biggest thing is, if you get stopped, you're more than likely going to get a ticket. 68% of those stopped actually get tickets. 28% get off with a warning, and a mere 5% get off without a ticket or a warning.
But who agrees with me that speeding is not the worst thing that happens out there? There's much worse driving that happens. I think speeding is probably one of the lesser evils. I know that difference in speed is what causes an accident. But I see the craziest things that don't have anything to do with speeding, like they mentioned in this story, you know, with U-turns and just texting and doing all kinds of illegal
things while you're driving.
Mainly illegal turns.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, isn't tailgating every bit as different, as dangerous as speeding?
Worse, probably.
Or what about passing on the right? Or what about somebody that makes illegal U-turns or blows through stop signs? I mean, those things, I would think those things are a lot more dangerous than speeding.
Yeah, I had a customer who's a police officer who pulled somebody over while he was not in his, while he was in his personal car, his Autoflex leasing leased car, because the guy was driving pretty crazy and made an illegal turn, and so he pulled him over. And I guess he could still give him a ticket, or maybe he could just scare him a little bit. I'm not sure what the rules are there, but he told me that he still pulls people over.
Right.
Reports people whenever he's off duty.
David, you asked the question, how would the police department still make money if people weren't speeding? What if they did, I think it's going on in Austin right now, where you can pay to take a special road and fly as fast as you want.
Well, 85 is the speed limit.
Right.
Yeah, on that section of highway down there. You're starting to see that in Texas especially. They're beginning to raise the speed limits again.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back far enough, if you remember the first gas crunch, one of the things that resulted from that was a lot of the speed limits, in fact, across America, speed limits were lowered to 55. And that was supposed to save gasoline. Now, cars are so much more efficient than they were then,
mm-hmm.
that's not really that big an issue. There's not that big a spread in how much gas you use between 65 and 70, 75. So we're starting to see them raise speed limits all over, because it does get you from point A to B, point B faster, and doesn't use a lot more fuel. But, you know, it's speed differential, as Tammy said, is one of the largest causes of accidents that happen, and that's people driving too slowly, maybe on the highway, or people that are driving in the wrong lane to be driving the speed they're driving. They're in the left-hand lane, and they're not going 10 over like you're supposed to.
Or passing on the right. You're not supposed to pass on the right.
Yeah. Well,
you know, and there's websites, too, and I did not know this. There's a website called Addicted to Speed, Want to Stop, or a blog, or How Can I Wean Myself Off Speeding? And people suggest that you use meditation. Maybe you go out on the weekends to a track and work it out there. But most of the people that speed do it habitually.
Yeah.
Put your car on cruise. How about that?
Right. Well,
you can't do that in traffic for the most part.
Mine's a practical use, though. It's usually because I'm running late. So I'm speeding because I have to, not because I like to speed. I mean, I don't do it because it's fun. I do it because I have to get there.
So plan ahead?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, I should do that in theory, but...
Well, it costs you a little more time if you get a ticket. And this was interesting about that, you know, David said most people do get a ticket, but in this story it says some speeders have their tickets dismissed by asking to see a copy of the speed test, which is where the local Department of Transportation conducts a survey on the average speed on a particular stretch of highway or street. And the basic idea is that you're traveling as fast as 85% of all other drivers, then that is the speed considered safe and prudent. But did you say when they do that, they actually lower the speed? You know, they'll measure what everybody is doing on average, and then they'll lower it from there?
So they usually measure what everyone is doing on average and set a speed limit from there if there's a question as to what the speed limit should be. Some cities just have plans that if it's a street that's this wide and this long and this, you know, there's this much room between stop signs or between red lights, that they have a speed limit of X and that kind of thing. There's some basic rules on there. It is interesting to me that maybe, and I don't know about the state of Texas, maybe one of our super intelligent Autoflex leasing fan texters could tell us, but can you go into a court in Texas and ask to be let off on a ticket because you're driving the same speed as a DOT study? Because before I read this article, I had never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sure try it.
I haven't heard it.
Of course, they may say, oh, honey, you're way over the DOT study.
Right.
Love this. Autoflex Leasing Fantex. Speeding is the gateway ticket. They pull you over and then look for other stuff. God help you if you got a taillight out.
That's true.
State inspection sticker.
You know, how does the Autobahn in Germany make money?
They don't write speeding tickets because there is no speed limit on it.
Right. So if the concern is how do you make money if you're not writing speeding tickets, how do they make money?
Well, they have a lot of other roads that aren't the Autobahn. That's just their super highway where you can drive that limitless speed.
And that's what we need.
And it's not for the faint of heart. I can promise you that. I like ambulances don't rush to accidents on the Autobahn, I don't think.
They don't?
Well, it's pretty much a done deal.
They're just naturally rushing.
No,
they're just naturally
dead. No reason
dead.
To hurry.
Gotcha.
You crash at 150.
So I would be interested in maybe hearing from some of our police officer listeners. Autoflex Leasing Fantex 43733. Is there any truth to the claim that if you're driving over 100, you automatically go to jail or you automatically get your license revoked?
There is not, because I have experience at that.
Oh.
Yes. I've gotten two tickets in my lifetime that were written for over 100 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And neither time was I taken to jail.
Knock on wood.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's the old, maybe it's what my mom told me to keep me from going that fast, but it's the old wives' tale.
It didn't last, did it?
They took that guy on the motorcycle. Remember the guy on the motorcycle that got pulled over? They finally caught him. They took him to jail, I think.
Yeah, it's according to, I mean, if you're driving on a fairly open highway, not a lot of traffic, and you're just going really fast, I guess they don't necessarily take you to jail. I think if you're weaving in and out of traffic and going that fast, then possibly they would take you to jail because of the other cars and the danger there.
I'm not going to chance it. Don't recommend any of you people do it either.
One Autoflex leasing fan texter who may be a policeman says you can go into court and ask about the 85% rule, but they'll laugh at you.
Aww. They will.
Another Autoflex leasing fan text says, well, can't you get a ticket for reckless driving?
Sure. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they could still make money that way.
And that's a more serious, in a lot of cases, that's more serious than speeding tickets as far as fines and adjudication on that.
Gotcha. And here's somebody I agree with. I say just raise the limit on the highway. Amen, sir. Mm.
So then if they raise the limit, what happens?
We all get to go faster.
Well, I know, but if you drive from Dallas to Houston right now, part of the limit is 75,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's driving 90. Now.
Yeah.
And before, when the limit was 65, everybody was driving like 80.
So will people yeah. start driving over 100 is the question. If we raise the limit, are they going to also raise how much they speed over the limit?
Probably.
I'm just curious, is it that they're always going to push it that much more to go to get there faster? Or what is the tipping point? What is fast enough for you? You know,
mm-hmm.
what's your limit, people?
Okay, a couple of Autoflex leasing fan texters that are pretty interesting. The Autobahn only has certain sections that have no limits.
I did not realize that. I'm not from there.
And the Autobahn actually does give tickets, but instead of for speeding, they give tickets for reckless driving.
Mm.
Most cops are ex-race car drivers. I would believe that.
So they can chase down their prey. All right.
Okay, over 100 or 25 miles per hour over the limit is reckless driving and an arrestable offense. So, yes, you can be arrested for doing 100. I guess I was lucky.
Probably depends on your attitude, whether you say, yes, sir, officer.
Right.
No, sir, officer. I apologize, officer.
If it can be considered reckless in nature, you can be arrested. Another Autoflex leasing fan text.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why people say going over 100 will get you popped. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Phone number to the studio, 877-881-1053, or send us your Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And as always, Autoflex is open for your business today. Two locations. What are those phone numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com. And don't waste all day long Saturday shopping for a car because you do not have to.
Nope.
Give us a call. We'll do all the work for you.
Yep.
We'll find the car. We'll have it ready for you at Autoflex. We'll arrange financing on a pre-owned car, a lease on a new car. All you got to do is come in and sign the paperwork. It's literally that easy.
Easy breezy.
It is so easy. It took me 30 minutes, and that's only because I test drove three different cars. And then I got to do my paperwork over the phone, and the car was brought to me right here at the station. I signed all my paperwork in a commercial break. So it's easier than you think. If you've had past experiences, try Autoflex. I promise you, you'll be happy with it.
Well, you know, so many people don't understand that it really does work that way.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe that you don't have to go through that gauntlet
right.
that you traditionally have to go through to get a car. You really don't. We'll do all the work for you.
Mm-hmm. Lots of Autoflex leasing fan techs. We were just talking about speeding and... This guy says, when my steering starts to shake, that's when I slow down.
I love that.
That's funny. I used to, you know, I've noticed, though, now that I've got a new car from Autoflex, my steering wheel doesn't do that anymore. If I go over 90 or 95, it doesn't shake.
It shouldn't do that.
But it used to do that. Like in my car from the 80s, it did.
Let's talk about that a little bit. People that steering wheel shakes, it is not because your car is out of alignment. Everyone always, my car is out of alignment, the steering wheel. That is not why. If your car is out of alignment, it will pull to one side or the other. And be aware that all cars are designed to pull slightly to the left because there's usually a crest in the road which would pull the car naturally off to the right. So they're designed to pull slightly to the left if they're on a perfectly flat road. If the car is shaking, if your steering wheel is shaking, it can be caused by tires or it can be caused by loose suspension parts in the front end. It can be caused by balance, but it is never alignment. Alignment is, just, if your car's out of line, it's going to pull, and you can turn loose at the steering wheel. It'll try to steer itself.
But if your car's shaking, take it in, bottom line.
Well, yeah. And usually shaking is a tire issue, normally, but according to the age. If it's an older car, it very well could be tie rod connectors, things like that, that have worn out and allow that play so the car shakes. Do take it in, though, because that will flat chew up some tires, and it's also a safety issue.
Right.
Yeah, you'll spend more money replacing your tires over and over when you could get the suspension repaired, and tires will last a lot longer.
Take care of two problems at once.
Uh-huh.
Autoflex Leasing fan text, 43733, when do the 15 Sonatas come out, and do they hold good value for lower leasing payments compared to something like a Fusion?
Compared to something like a Fusion, yes, they do. The Hyundai Sonata has improved markedly in the last few years. It's got consistently fairly good resale value. I mean, it's not going to give you the same thing that a Toyota or Honda would in perceived resale, but it is going to give you every bit that a Fusion would. And it's a good car in comparison, but there's also some other cars you should drive when you're looking at that car as comparison.
Okay, got it. So,
and if you wanted to find out what those were, call one of our offices because they got the FlexLease computer system there. They can group cars like that into one group and tell you what other cars perform and cost and look, you know, that compare to that vehicle. And that way we can set up maybe a test drive with a Ford, a Hyundai, a Toyota, Honda, a Mazda all together.
Mm-hmm. And if you're in the 214 area code, it's 972-234-1234. NADA recently published their study results for the impact of federal regulations on franchised automobile dealerships. What did we learn from that?
Well, we learned that all those regulations cost us a lot of money. You know, you wonder about what goes into the cost of a car, and a part of the cost of the car and what you spend for it are due to regulations that the government places on people that build cars and people that sell cars.
I'm just curious, when these regulations are placed by the government, is it generally pushed for by the public? Are we looking for the safety and the extra, you know, kind of like the CAFE requirements? Is that where we're going with this? Are these things that are supposed to help us, but then we wind up paying for them?
Well, that's exactly right. Okay. They are supposed to help us, and you wind up paying for them. So it's part of the cost of doing business. The average dealership in 2012, which is the last year they have figures for, spent $182,754 to comply with federal mandates governing employment, business operations, vehicle financing, sales, marketing, vehicle repair, and maintenance. So that's the average dealership spent $182,754 to do that in a year. Now, that cost is either spread out among the buyers of the cars, because they have to pay for it, or it results in less employment. They don't have as many employees, and yeah, the employees there do more than they did. It costs about $2,400 per dealership employee, and the average dealership needs to sell 106 cars in order just to recoup the cost of the government regulations.
Oh, and I just reread this because this is really not even, that doesn't even have to do with what the manufacturer has to do with CAFE requirements. These are just regulations within the dealerships.
Right. Wow. Yeah. These are just regulations having to do with, you know, we've talked a lot about the CFPB and some of the compliance issues that they've had with dealer financing. All of those things that are necessary in order to comply are expensive also. NADA put out a paper about 3 months ago on how to comply with the new Consumer Fraud Protection Bureau rules, and it's a booklet, and it's seven different forms. And one form should be included with every transaction you did to explain to whoever is the inspector or the regulator how you reached the price that you charged. So that's just one example of the government mandating paperwork necessary in order to be in compliance or not be sued by the government.
So where does the money go then?
To the government.
But I mean, what are they doing with it? Like,
no,
is it going back?
The money is just spent.
It's just spent
like
complying
on forms, right here.
You had to pay. You had to pay the forms. You may have an attorney that you have to have look at those forms to make sure that, you know. So there's a number of ways that the money is spent. The fact is, it is spent.
And every time they do change something, then we have to reprogram our computers to print those documents, which also costs money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of, you don't really think about all these fixed costs that go into operating a business, you know, a general consumer, unless you are one of those business owners or you're running one of the, it's crazy.
That's true.
If you're going to start your own business, by the way, get an accounting degree, too.
Yeah, or hire a good accountant. The estimated total impact is $10.5 billion in lost economic impact, pardon me, lost economic output, and about 75,000 fewer jobs across the country.
Well, so, that's the part I don't like, is that it costs the money where it costs jobs. We need to make jobs, create jobs. Okay.
There's got to be a good balance
right
between making sure everybody's treated properly and things are done properly, and what it costs to actually do business.
Auto Flex Leasing Fan Text 43733. How much will my 10 Series Scion TC hold value compared to a normal 14 model, since Scion likes to do special editions?
More than I realized, yeah. You know what? They're going to maintain value about the same. The Scion is a good car and good tends value to have great resale value. So the 10 and the 14, the 14 is going to be worth more because it's a newer car, but as a percent of initial retail value, they're going to be about the same. There's not going to be a lot of difference.
I love Scions. I think
they're
cute, so
little
cute
cars.
And they're
yeah
very safe. I totaled mine one time, and I came out with just a bruise. That's it.
Back to our speeding. I'm not sure our Prius 5 will do 100 unless I'm drafting. Uh-huh. I'll do over 90, but people walk away from us and I can't keep, or keep people drive away from us and I can't keep up. DFW to Houston.
That's funny.
Nice. All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Our phone number is 877-881-1053. Our AutoFlex Leasing fan text, if you want to send us one, 43733. And as always, you can call AutoFlex. They're open this weekend. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, AutoFlex.com, where you can see some of our great Save Money Monday deals that we'll have on Monday.
Yes, and let's tell people what that is.
Well, you know, every week we send cars to auction. Not very many, but a few. And we had a great idea. Why don't we offer those to the public for one day? Because we know we're going to get wholesale when they go to auction. So we mark them down dramatically in some cases and offer them to the public on Monday. It's our Save Money Monday sale. And so just so you know that these are not old junker cars. They're not. They're great cars. 2013 Chevrolet Cruze. 2013 Dodge Charger, 2014 GMC Yukon, how about a 2013 Hyundai Santa Fe, or a 2011 Infiniti G37? Those are all great cars, and those are on our Save Money Monday list. You can see that list at AutoFlex.com by going to the used cars and clicking on the specials, or you can see them in either location.
That's right. We've been talking about Google's self-driving car for months. If you listen to the Saturday Morning Test Drive on a regular basis, you're already familiar with it. But this week, it seems like news media just kind of got a hold of the story, and now it was everywhere.
Well, and Google has decided to build some prototype cars that are self-driving cars. And if you go to AutoFlex.com and like our Facebook page, you can see the story there and actually see a picture of the prototype that they are turning out. And it does not look like anything that you might expect it to look like.
If you could picture a smart car, but then shrink it down. Like, I didn't even think a smart car could get any smaller.
Right.
But it is. That's kind of what it looks like. And it almost looks like you can only seat one person in there.
Well, there's two seats, and it looks like it's got a little face on the front of it also. I thought that was interesting. There's two areas where headlights might be, and the little lower grill area looks like a mouth that's not smiling, and it's got a little black nose.
I think they've taken basically a little go-kart and put this little eggshell thing over it.
Yeah.
It is egg-shaped. Yeah.
I think that's what it is. And is the nose, am I correct in assuming that's the sensor?
It's like
I think
sensor
that's one of the
me
sensors, yeah.
Okay.
And then the sensor on the top spins. And that's the laser that maps out all of the topography around the car. So, and you can see a video there at the Autoflex Facebook page also. Shows the car in operation and driving it.
You know when that little thing spinning, that, you know when that won't work in a sleet storm?
Oh, yeah.
That'll freeze right up. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, right here and now, this isn't going to work.
Why?
Well, because people aren't going to give up their motorcycles. Okay? So everything can't be a self-driving car.
Well, no. Everything can't be.
But a self-driving, I don't think these self-driving cars work unless everything's a self-driving car, right?
Autoflex Leasing fan text. It looks like an embarrassed panda bear. That's very funny. You know, here's the thing. The car, the prototype, doesn't have a steering wheel, doesn't have any pedals, doesn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
You just sit in it. And the analogy was, it's a great deal like riding an elevator. Because
yeah.
You get in and you don't touch anything. And it's got a button where you can toggle it to tell it where to go. And then beyond that, you just sit there.
Or like a train or a subway car. You just get in and sit down.
But you're not on a track in this case. You can move from point A to point B,
yeah.
Given that they've got the road all mapped out and all that neat stuff. But it is, I mean, to think about what it'll do, seniors don't have to give up their keys anymore.
Right.
Blind people mm-hmm. can actually drive.
Yeah.
So they can go to the mall.
They can ride in their car-a-vator.
Well, and there's
not
no more
driving.
No more DUIs.
Yeah, that's true.
And you can text all you want to.
Yeah.
Well, you can work on the way to work.
Right. You can do all of it.
Yeah. We do all that now, by the way.
That's true.
Do that yeah, on the
but
dark.
It's much more dangerous.
You can do it on a train. You can do it on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I did some further reading on this. I think Roush, the performance company, is the one that's helping them turn this car out. Goes 25 miles per hour max speed. The other interesting thing about it, and when you look at it and then think about this, it doesn't have crumple zones. It doesn't have a lot of metal that we include in cars to protect the riders because it's never supposed to run into anything.
Well, only 25 miles per hour? I didn't realize that. So it's not getting on the highway.
No.
Sybil's not interested.
Yeah, suddenly it is a golf cart.
Like, what's going to happen when I'm running late?
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if we're talking about all the people who can use it now, blind people, elderly, what about kids? Will there be an age limit? Do you have to be 16 to get in it?
No, I wouldn't think so, because all you're going to do is dial up a designation. It's going to be like getting in the back seat of a cab.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter how old you are as long as you can dial up the right designation. They're going to have 100 of these or so available for people to drive later this year.
Here's the deal.
To drive.
I can see these existing in a community, a specific, here you can go live in this world of driverless cars and no motorcycles or crazy this or crazy that. But there's too many other things that could just run into the car. That's my paranoia.
Right.
And if you're talking about no crumple zones, I mean, obviously, they're going to make a driverless car. It still needs to have all these other safety features, because what if somebody does run into you?
Yeah, does it have seat belts?
Yeah.
Do you guys watch the show Silicon Valley on HBO?
I haven't.
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. Okay, spoiler alert, if anybody out there listening watches it. There's a scene where one of the guys gets into the... Lane's covering his ears. I guess he watches it. One of the guys gets into a self-driving car on the show. It's the equivalent of Google. They call it Hooli. And he gets trapped. And he ends up getting shipped off to like this foreign land because he's stuck inside the car. So that, Tammy was talking earlier about some horror stories, things that could happen and potentially go wrong. That could happen where you get stuck and you can't override the system and there's no way to there's no brake. There was a steering wheel, but he was locked in. There was no way to get out of the car. So that might happen.
Anything could happen.
Autoflex Leasing fan text. We've got a broad spectrum of fan texts. How much for the Dodge Charger, Dave? Well, the Dodge Charger I mentioned, which is a 2013, the selling price is $19,900. I wanted to be sure that was correct.
Less than 10.
Exactly. Autoflex Leasing fan text. Hi there. A dealer called me and told me my pre-owned vehicle is not certified. That is why I bought it. He gave me two options and is mailing me the paperwork. Do I have a legal case? You will need to talk to an attorney. But if the car was advertised as a certified pre-owned car and it was not certified pre-owned, then you'd probably have a pretty good case of not having to buy that car or go through with the transaction.
However, let me say, if they're just sending you paperwork that is giving you an extended warranty that's pretty much the same thing as turning that, because that's really what a certified car is,
yeah.
People. They're just adding an extended warranty to the car. Yes, it's gone through an inspection process, and oftentimes they'll replace whatever needs to be replaced. So you're missing out possibly on that part of the certification, or maybe it wasn't certifiable. That would be my question is, yeah. If they advertise it as certified and it's a dealer who sells them certified, was it an issue with it? They couldn't certify it, and why? So
yeah,
if you're getting a warranty,
questions.
I don't know that I'd get the details.
It's a really good point, though, that certified cars are basically just cars that have been inspected and have an extended warranty attached to them.
And the price increased.
And their price increased rather remarkably in some cases. It is not anything special. It's still a pre-owned car. Most people do those inspections. If they include a warranty with it, then they are certifying the car will be good because the warranty does the certification basically for them.
Yeah.
It fixes anything that breaks.
Certifying a pre-owned car, that was the greatest marketing thing that any manufacturer or dealer ever came up with.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's peace of mind. Hey, we're just going to go ahead and include the extended warranty. We're not going to try to sell it to you in the finance office.
Talking about what could go wrong with a self-driving car, somebody brings up the point, it's not supposed to hit anything, but what if something hits it? Tammy mentioned
I'm
that exact same thing earlier in the break.
And we have a truck driver that, David, I'm a trucker. The government is always cracking down on the trucking industry. Explain DEF and will this ever be forced upon the automobile industry? But here's the deal. Those trucks aren't going to go away. That's how they haul our goods.
Mm-hmm.
So they could run over the little self-driving car, too.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I'm not saying truck drivers would, you know, you guys are very safe. It's all the rest of us fools that don't drive properly around you.
Right.
Right? Anyway, that made me think about that, and who knows what will come next.
And I love this. If you have a self-driving car and it's all a computer, what if somebody hacks in and changes your destination? And we've talked about before, people being able to spy on you because of your car being on GPS all the time.
Sure.
You know, see, what if maybe like a wife is following up on a husband or something and she watches where he goes and then hacks in and makes him not go to his mistress's house? Lots of stuff could happen.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I went dark right then.
The trucker mentioned DEF. Dave, I'm a trucker. The government always trying to crack down on trucking industry. Explain DEF. Will this ever be forced upon the automotive industry? DEF is diesel exhaust fluid, and basically it's uremic acid. And they are making truckers carry DEF, and it filters out hydrocarbons from their exhaust, so it makes them run cleaner, but it also makes it a lot more expensive because of the additional cost of the ability to carry it, the stocking of it, and the fluid and the way it works. So it's an expensive thing that the government requires that people that drive diesel trucks have on those trucks to comply with the EPA rules.
Got it.
So I explained to EF. I don't know that they will ever do that on cars, but it would be, again, terribly expensive. Diesel cars, there's just not that many of them anymore. And they're good cars. They're great. In fact, the new diesels are fabulous. But we have taxed diesel here to
heavily.
A point that it's not as inexpensive as it is in Europe. That's why diesel is a lot less expensive in Europe and a lot more widely used than it is here.
And then when you average out what you have to pay for a diesel car, because there's still kind of a supply and demand issue with those, so you don't get a steal of a deal necessarily on a diesel. So that can make a difference as well. We have an AutoFlex Leasing Fan Texter.
AutoFlex Leasing Fan Texter, my credit score is 520. I'm working to rebuild it. Is it possible for me to get a car? I really need one. Yes, it is. We can help you with a 520. Now, it's according to the other things in your credit score and your credit makeup as to how that works, what kind of car, how much we can, and your income will have to do with how much car you can get. But we can help you with a 520 Beacon score.
Here's another fan texter. I have a 2010 Lancer with 95,000 miles. I want to trade it in for another car and was thinking about a lease. Can I do that? Of course.
Yeah.
And just so you know, if you drive higher miles, a lot of people think, oh, I can't lease because I drive too many miles. That's untrue. We can structure the lease to fit anything that you need. That's the whole key. It just helps you keep from being upside down. So, for example, that's a four-year-old vehicle with 95,000 miles, so that's an average of 25,000 miles per year. That's not a problem for us to help you with a lease to do that. And what happens there is you're not going to be upside down when you're ready for that next car. So if you're driving higher miles,
it's a good
and
way, yeah.
You can't finance the car for 3 years, you could do a lease instead and get the miles you need, and then turn it in, and you're not upside down.
I love this. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Okay, everyone slow down. It's the end of the month, and the police are out.
Good advice.
And it's the end of the month, and there are good car deals at Autoflex.
Yes, 817 or 972-234-1234. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil, we are here for you. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 43733. Or you can call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can see our great pre-owned cars, apply for a lease online, or get a free Black Book appraisal on your trade-in. You can go to autoflex.com, click on What's My Trade Worth, and in a few moments, you'll have a Black Book appraisal from your friends at Autoflex Leasing, free of charge.
Mm-hmm. So Ford has some new technology that's actually pretty ingenious. I haven't thought about this before.
It is. You know, they've come up with inflatable seat belts, and they started installing them a few years ago. They actually did the patent in 2008, and then in 2011 on the Ford Explorer, they put them on for the first time and advertised them. Now, what do? They have an inflatable bladder so that if you're in an accident, it activates like the airbags do and keeps that seat belt from biting into you. Now, there's so many other applications for this. Airliners, you know, buses, a lot of things, and all of the other car manufacturers. Well, Ford, being the geniuses that they are, has patented this, and now they are willing and licensed it, and now they are willing to sell licenses on this to other manufacturers. I think it's a brilliant move, and I think a lot of other manufacturers will buy the inflatable seat belts because they are a great safety feature, and you can advertise them.
Yeah.
And that'll help you sell cars.
And it seems like it wouldn't damage kids the way an airbag would.
Right.
If, a kid who's under 40 pounds or whatever the weight limit is, they probably wouldn't be injured by it.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, you guys Luke the Subaru BRZ. Well, I think that's probably like. And yes, by the way, I type every bit as poorly as that, so I certainly understand.
It's autocorrect, dang it.
It is. Luke. The Force. Anyway, Subaru BRZ is an awesome, awesome car. And the people that drive those cars tend to be almost like fanatically religious about driving that car. They love it. So it's a great car. Okay. GM produced a list of 69 words that they did not want their engineers to use in writing up reports when they had problems. And problem was one of the words. When they had issues with different vehicles. This list has become public now, and it's gained quite a bit of attention since GM was fined $35 million a couple of weeks ago for the ignition switch problems that resulted in 13 deaths and a number of accidents, cars turning off by themselves. And the first thing you have to realize is probably every corporation, every big corporation in America has some sort of guidance that they give to their engineers, to the researchers, on words that you shouldn't put when you're writing. You shouldn't use.
Shouldn't put in writing.
Like if you're in the pharmaceutical business, you wouldn't want to use the word side effect.
Yeah, or death.
Or, yeah. So here are the 69, who knows why they ended up with that number. Here are some of the words that they said don't use.
All right, Lane, get the dump button ready.
Yeah, no. Annihilate, apocalyptic, asphyxiating, bad, defect, safety. That was a surprise.
Why?
But
yeah.
Because if they write this is a safety concern and then they get sued later, they could say, well, you saw that this was a safety concern.
But what if you say this is a new safety feature?
That you could say that, but they say to use very plain language and avoid those words, so find another way to say it.
They don't want to use the word inferno.
Why would you ever use that word?
Grenade-like?
Kevorkian-esque?
Okay, for real? How would that ever be used to describe a car?
Rolling carcophagus? Sarcophagus?
Titanic.
Okay, I see that one.
Spontaneous combustion?
Flawed, failure,
widowmaker, mangling,
grizzly,
maiming, life-threatening, lacerating,
your toast,
inferno,
that's actually
genocide, ghastly,
and finally
evil.
Finally, any words or phrases with biblical connotation.
Okay. So, the title of the story is the 69 dirty words
that GM can't use.
Yeah.
Can't use.
Well, and so Mary Barra says the problem we had with this back when it started in the early 2000s was we had 300,000 employees, and it's impossible to know what 300,000 people are doing, and it's impossible for 300,000 people to effectively communicate with everyone else. And so they found out about these problems in little areas, but those areas weren't talking to one another, so the information was isolated.
I guess they need their own form of Twitter, Facebook,
yeah. In-house
email.
Twitter.
How about an email?
Well, and that puts things in writing, and so then you end up with a liability concern there also. So it's really interesting that they had this, but it's not unusual. I think probably every big corporation, again, has some sort of guidance that they give their researchers, their engineers, about what you put down in writing.
Yeah. I mean, we here at CBS Radio are certainly not allowed to say select words.
Select words. Would you care to share those?
No, I think I'm going to hold off on that.
Pass.
You know, the weird thing about some of these words that are so odd, when you guys said grenade-like and rolling sarcophagus, I would have never thought that that would come up in car talk anyway. Like Cobain? Why would you ever use the word Cobain? But that means somebody used it at some point to
exactly.
make GM say,
yeah.
Don't use that word.
Yeah, one of the engineers at one point in time or another said something about it being a rolling sarcophagus, and that's why the rule was made.
Good question from the Autoflex Leasing fan text. If GM does get fined for using these words, who gets the money?
Well, these are not words that GM would be fined for using. Right. These are words that GM published to their researchers and said, don't use these words when writing about cars. One of the words was always.
Always and never.
And never was another one. Yeah.
Which they say you shouldn't really use anyway.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're in something with your spouse or your friend.
I always
do this. You never do that.
I always use the word never.
Always. This is a great Autoflex Leasing fan text. What year did the Toyota Camry become safe? Is the 2011 Camry less valuable than the 2012? Okay, the Camry was always safe.
It's always safe.
There was never an incident proved that the unintended acceleration was anything other than a floor mat that was stuck. Or somebody hit the accelerator rather than the brake.
There's no proof of anything.
They never could prove that there was unintended acceleration. There have been cases of that. In the case of the Camry, they never found that it was. They made a gigantic settlement. They paid it to get everybody quiet and to move on with their lives.
But in
and
general,
we'll all pay for that if you buy their cars.
Yeah, that's true. And in general, the 2011 Camry would be less valuable than 2012 because it's a year older. That would be really the only reason there. And that question, if GM gets fined, who gets that money? Not necessarily about the words, but what about for the recalls and things like that? Does the government get that money?
The government gets that money.
And what are they going to do with it?
They do whatever they want to with it. That's government money.
Alrighty.
Yeah, that's a fine that's paid to the United States government. And, you know, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. There's a couple of bills now that have been introduced to raise that fine. The reason GM was fined $35 million was because they couldn't fine them anymore. That was the limit. So now they're trying to raise the limit. Because
gotcha.
They say $35 million is not enough to deter a big company from producing a bad product. Like they would do that on purpose.
Right.
Well, yeah, anyway.
And apparently a $152 speeding ticket isn't enough to deter us from speeding either.
Apparently
that's true.
It's not.
So
okay.
What's your tipping point there? What would the fine have to be for you to say, you know, Sybil?
That's not worth it.
How much would it have to be?
The risk of
getting the fine, how much would it have to be for you to not speed anymore at all?
I think it varies on your household income.
Sure it does.
Okay.
Yeah, sure it does. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, by the way, is the 2011 worth less than the 2012 Camry? Yes, because it's a year older, but only because it's a year older. Here's the story out of the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, where this goes on, I think, on a pretty broad basis more than it does here. 41 people in Philadelphia are now facing charges for what prosecutors call an elaborate insurance fraud scheme that used dead deers to fake car accidents.
This is just awful.
Ron Galati Sr. is accused of running a $5 million scam out of his auto body shop. He was a busy little beaver, $5 million. District Attorney
Not
Seth Williamson
cars.
Said Friday that Galati coached customers to claim they had struck a deer rather than another car. That way the insurance companies would consider them no-fault accidents and pay the claim without raising their premiums. So they run into a car, they take their car to Ron Galati, and Ron goes, "Hey, buddy, you didn't hit a car, you hit a deer, and here's how we're gonna help you." He had deer carcasses stored at his body shop along with blood and fur, so they could use those as props.
Okay, where did he get that?
Weirdo.
His name's Ron Galati,
first of all. He probably got it wherever they get blood and fur.
I gotcha.
You know?
I'm trying to figure out where this really benefits. If he's going to fix the car anyway.
No, it saves them
it
from
saves
their rates
the
going
consumer,
up.
Consumer, not Ray.
Right.
So why did Ray start this scam? It seems like the consumers could have done the scam on their own.
They don't have deer carcasses, and they wouldn't think of it.
Well, and then they keep coming back to him, and they refer their friends, like, "Hey, this guy will save you money on your insurance. You know, it won't go up."
And so he does more business. So he maybe charges a little more to fix the car.
Yeah,
because he saved them some premiums, and all he has to have is a dead deer, or a few dead deers,
right,
and some fur and some blood. Now,
what about the other car that they hit? What about that person? Are they going to speak up?
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, also charged are Galati's wife, son, daughter, several insurance adjusters, tow truck drivers, a city official, and a police officer. So he was an industrious guy. He had basically a small cottage business.
Yeah.
In people hitting deers.
Aye, aye, aye. All right, that about wraps up our show today. But you can still go to autoflex.com or call 817 or 972-234-1234. We're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Lane. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I am Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
I'm scared in case I fall off my chair, and I'm wondering how I get down the stairs.